Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, first and foremost, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Thank you for doing this again. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I am happy to be here. I assume you are also still a little juiced from this weekend. It was a high energy, electric weekend on campus. Why don't you tell our listeners about everything we had going on?
Yeah, you know, it was a great, great weekend. So much activity. And we had an event at the Shoemaker on Friday with a number of our donors to the Shoemaker event, and had our student athletes talk to them about the impact of the Shoemaker on their lives. It was a five-year anniversary for the opening of that facility. It opened in November of 2018, and it was just so good to be around those donors and reminisce about their commitment to creating a facility for our student athletes. And then just the diversity of our student athletes who were represented in that facility. We have over 1,000 student athletes that go through there on a weekly basis. And it was just really a great event. And then of course, Saturday with 105 scarlet out fans in the shoe and a beautiful day. Thank God we had such a beautiful day. We were worried about the weather and it was fine. And ultimately we got the win. Really proud of our overall team, but obviously our defense played at a phenomenal level. It's really amazing when you look at the stats that they ultimately created by holding Penn State down. And then we had a number of other sports happening this weekend. Field hockey ended their regular season on a high note, and as did women's soccer, beating that team up north on Sunday afternoon with a big win. So they're headed into Big Ten play, as is field hockey. So it was really exciting for those sports. And then our men's basketball team participated in a charity. I'm sure we're going to talk about a little bit with that with Chris, so I won't steal that thunder. But really proud of him and his staff and the student athletes on that team that went and did something that was really impactful on people's lives. And so really, really great event over there. So great weekend. And, you know, now we move on to the next weekend and get started. So we'll talk a little bit about that with our coaches.
Train keeps going, but as Gene alluded to, we're really excited to have two of the guest stars from the in-game entertainment from Saturday's football game. They lead two of our most energetic, notable, and successful programs here on campus. Our first guest is beginning his seventh season at the helm of Ohio State men's basketball. In his first six seasons, he's amassed 123 wins, and we were excited to welcome Chris Holtman. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be with you, Ben and Gene and Kevin, and always enjoy this. Great to be here this morning.
Really excited to have you. And our next guest is entering his 11th season as the head coach of Ohio State women's basketball team. In his time in Columbus, he has led the Buckeyes to 224 wins. Welcome, Kevin McGuff. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, great to be here with you guys this morning.
Absolutely. We're excited to have the both of you. Kevin, we're recording this the week before your team's open practice, and you're coming off of an exciting Elite Eight appearance last year. How have you tried to carry over that success and the energy from last season as you get ready to start this year?
Yeah, you know, I've really leaned on our upperclassmen. We've got really good leadership with the likes of J.C. Sheldon and Ricky Harris and Rebecca Michalakakova. And so I've really kind of impressed upon them, you know, all summer and this fall, just that, you know, we can't get complacent off of a really good run in the tournament. You know, we aspire to do more. We went Sweet 16, Elite Eight. And the only way that's going to happen if we have the same work ethic, intensity, and chemistry that we had last year. So I've really put it on their shoulders, and they've done a great job leading this team.
How is that level of experience that you alluded to, how has that helped you this offseason in maintaining that focus?
Yeah, I think it gives us a level of confidence that we can compete and play with the best teams in the country. I think the win against Connecticut was significant for us to take that step to go to the Elite Eight, but to also have to go through, you know, the best program in the history of our game. So I think we took a lot of confidence from that. and our players have worked incredibly hard to get better individually at what they need to get better at. But then we've also maintained, you know, a collective spirit, a chemistry, a togetherness that I think that will be really important this year.
Chris, as Gene mentioned, you're actually coming right off your first exhibition game over the weekend. But why don't you tell listeners about that experience and what made it unique?
Yeah, it was a tremendous experience. Anthony Grant, the head coach, and his wife, they had a really personal story to share about losing a daughter to mental health, and they've just. He's a tremendous coach and a tremendous person, great, terrific family. I got to know them. They called in the summer and asked if we'd be willing to participate in a charity exhibition game. And, you know, we jumped in with 2 feet, and it was, I think, a week for them that I'm sure was difficult because they've really had, you know, tremendous just courage and vulnerability to talk about their family. And we went over there and played. The Dayton people were tremendous. It was a big event. You know, I believe the governor was there, and it was a fun time to play in a great basketball venue, and have our guys tested against a good team early and play different combinations. And our guys performed really well. We have some young guys that are back as sophomores, and those guys led the way last night.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you have a lot of returning players people are really excited about, but you also have some notable transfers that are coming and joining the team this year. How have you been working in the offseason to mesh that team and get them to start working together?
Well, I think, you know, Kevin and I both, you know, you have a turnover now in college sports, particularly in college basketball, and that's the constant challenge that's in front of you. But I think one of the things I'm excited about is we've been able to hold on to this class. We had one young man go to the NBA, Bryce Sensabaugh, but that freshman class, holding on to that one, allowing them now as sophomores to grow, getting game experience last year was helpful. And then I really like the 3 transfers we added. We have a strong freshman class, but that freshman class is going to need some time. I think we'll be relying on these returning guys as well as transfers. And I think as, you know, with any team in college basketball, and I'm sure it's the same for women's college basketball, the best teams have older guys, returning guys lead the way. And then hopefully the young kids come along. That's been our best teams. You know, when Malachi Branham, when we beat Duke and they were number one in the country and we had a solid year, it was EJ Liddell, an older guy leading until Malachi Branham could come along. So that's what we hopefully will have this year.
Gene, I think around Columbus and around the state, you can kind of feel the buzz and the excitement building for basketball season for both these programs. Both the men's and women's team are going to be playing a handful of games on Peacock this year. How do you see these properties being leveraged in future broadcast conversations?
Yeah, I think it's we have to recognize that streaming is a viable platform for all of our programs to be get exposure. The difficult part is it is we're in a transition relative to people's behaviors. So because we're also used to linear, and particularly the baby boomers, and so I get the challenge with that. But linear provides a great opportunity for our teams to get exposure in different ways across this country, and we need that. When you're playing so many contests in both men's and women's basketball, as well as all the other sports, we need to make sure we take advantage of the technology that has emerged. And so while it's a tough transition for many of us, as we get used to all these different streaming platforms, it is great for our kids to get that exposure.
You know, I've already had to help multiple family members get the Peacock situation straightened out. So if anyone needs any tech support, just give me a call. We'll get it all situated because we can't miss these two programs playing.
Fortunately, I have four children and 8 grandchildren, and they've helped me throughout ever since COVID. They've helped me with everything, Netflix, Hulu, all of them. So
You're all squared away. Gene, we're next year adding some pretty successful basketball programs to what already is a very competitive conference. How do you see the recent conference expansion impacting the Big Ten at large?
Well, you know, first we take our feedback from our coaches and help us understand what type of scheduling framework we need to put in place for the future to transition those in. And our men's coaches and women's coaches have already provided great feedback. So we, our conference office working with our senior women administrators and others are putting together a scheduling for the future. And so, you know, that's the biggest issue is making sure we do that. And then in that, having planning principles that makes sense. We need to be sensitive to the travel. Obviously, we're adding four West Coast teams and three different time zones. So we need to be really sensitive to the burden that we put on coaches and student athletes from a scheduling point of view, particularly with midweek games. And so all those planning principles are in play right now. But what's nice is you have four new schools coming in where their athletic directors and all their support staff, they're just genuinely good people. They get it. They're great coaches. And so I feel really good about where we'll start. And it will change over time. We'll have lessons learned in year one. And based upon those lessons learned, we'll continue to tweak. So I'm really excited about that.
Chris, for this season, you have a couple of high-profile programs coming for both conference and non-conference games at the Shot. Why do you think it's so important to have those games here in Columbus?
Well, we've tried to do it every year. You know, we played a Villanova team and Duke when they were both kind of top 10, top 15. Cincinnati, Gene was really the one who honestly pushed it to do the Cincinnati home and home as soon as we got here, because it had been so long since that had been done. We have tried to do that. Some years it's hard. Last year we did not have a great home schedule. Some of that was we couldn't fit it in, and other was, you know, the Big Ten, the kind of the traditional teams that our fans really like to see just didn't come to the Shot because of the way that the calendar fell. This year, completely different. It's the best home Shot schedule we've had in years. And we were fortunate and Gene is, you know, he pushed us to add another home game, and it was kind of a last minute thing with Texas A&M, but they're, you know, they're really good. They're a preseason potential, you know, Final Four team. They're top 10, 15, in whatever poll you look at it. They're coming in the night before football plays Michigan State. So it's a Friday night basketball game, a Saturday football game, a tremendous opponent. And then we have some other teams we're playing, Alabama in Destin, Florida, UCLA, West Virginia, some great non-conference games. And what will lead into, again, I believe the deepest, and I think most people see the deepest basketball league in the country from top to bottom. It's what the Big Ten has typically been. It's been the Big Ten and the Big 12 as the deepest college basketball leagues, and that'll continue to be the case.
Kevin, we talked a little bit about roster management, and your program at the Transfer Portal as well this offseason. Can you talk a little bit about embracing that new world of player personnel and maybe operationally what that looks like?
Yeah, sure. Kind of like what Chris mentioned earlier, you know, we return a really good core group from last year's team. And so I really like the idea of having 3 and 4 year players and now 5 with COVID years, because we've done really well with those kids. They come in, they develop in our system. And like Chris said earlier, you win with older teams. And so that was a big key for us last year, and I think it will be a huge key again this year. But we have had some success with the transfer portal. We just had 2 years of Taylor Mikesell, who was absolutely dynamite for our program. She was just fantastic. It was a great fit. And then this year we went out and kind of, you know, added some kids in some areas where I thought we needed some help and some depth. And so we brought in Kennedy Cambridge, who came from Kentucky after 1 year and will provide us some depth on the perimeter and probably more of a long-term player. And she's still early in her career. She just played 1 year at Kentucky. But then we brought in two veteran players with a lot of experience. Tyer Parks was the starting center at Michigan State last year, about 6'4", and she gives us something different. We've done really well with Rebecca and other players who play really well in the perimeter, and they're just a little bit different, and they really fit our offensive style. But we haven't been real good around the basket defensively or with our rebounding. I think Tyer will really give us a great presence and something a little different, something that we haven't had, and provide great depth as well. And then we brought in Celeste Taylor, who was first team all ACC at Duke last year. And she was the ACC defensive player of the year. And I think she's going to help. I think there's two areas where we have to make some steps. If we want to be better than we've been, we got to be better in the half court defensively. She's going to really help with that. We've got to be better on the rebounding front, and I think she'll help with that, even though she's a perimeter player. But overall, she's a fantastic player, and she's providing great leadership. She's played in big games. She's played with USA Basketball almost every summer in college. So I just think in those big moments, she's going to be another player that's going to really be able to help us.
Gene, to add to the complication in player and roster management on the men's side of things, there seems to be a constant discussion around the one-and-done rule for the NBA. What do you see as the future of talent acquisition in the men's game?
Well, I think it's the same really for almost every sport. There's nuances around the men's game. It's just different than the women's game or any other sports. But I don't anticipate the one-and-done rule changing in the near future. From what I understand, you know, the players, the NBA Players Association was not supportive of that in the last negotiation. So I don't see that changing. So we have to adjust. And I have to compliment Chris and Kevin and all of our coaches in adjusting to the new rules that cause us to have to deal with roster management in a different way. So I just think that for all of us, you know, we have to adjust with change, and both of them have done that. Now, the men's game has some different nuances. When you put on top of it, the pressures around NIL and the ecosystem that we serve now, you know, there's a lot of young people who've transferred twice in high school. You know, that you can periodically have an outlier that may have transferred three times, but transferring movement is kind of a part of their social experience, so they don't see it any other way. But so understanding that and being able to adjust with that is critical. But you know, all of our athletes want to get to the next level. You know, relative to the men's sport, they want to get to the NBA, and they come in thinking that. And so how fast they can get there, you know, is dependent upon their commitment and the fact that, you know, we have great resources to help them develop and get that opportunity. And it's been seen in our history. So the NBA is something that it will always be looming for all of our players as they come in.
Chris, in the vein of adapting to rules changing constantly, the NCAA, once again this offseason, implemented a number of rules changes on the court, from the legal guarding position to the expanded review protocols. How does the constant change of those rules impact your coaching style?
You know, I think you have to be aware of them, but the substantive changes are the ones that I think can really impact the game. And I'm not... You know, there's some nuanced rule changes this year. I think you have to be aware of them. What I'm probably more aware of is some of the rules around the emphasis regarding how the game's going to be officiated, because I think that is something we have to be aware of. They've really changed how they're going to call block charges in our game. I'm not sure if it's the same for Kevin's or not, but there's going to be less what we call secondary charge calls than there have been. And we saw that a little bit last night in the Dayton exhibition. There's, you know, I think what they're trying to do is clean up some of the collisions around the basket. But I think as a coach, you always obviously want to have awareness of them, awareness of some of the significant ones that are different. And we bring in officials multiple times in the preseason and have them kind of explain it from their perspective, the substantive changes that they think will impact us from game to game.
What is one rule change, Chris, that you would like to see made in the gameplay?
You know, I'd really be fine. Two things. Probably, I would like to definitely see less stoppages of play around replay. For one, our game, the college game, needs less stoppage of play. It fans lose interest when they're watching. That for one. I would also be in favor of maybe one less timeout per coaches. Now, some coaches will balk at that because you're coaching your team to be able to perform in the midst of challenges, adversity in the midst of the game. And I wouldn't mind that. And then the third thing was, and I went back and forth on this, but I like the idea potentially, as the NBA does, advancing the ball late in situations. And then one final thing is, Kevin can speak to this, the quarter change, I think, has been really good for women's basketball, and that might be something that our men's game should look at.
Yeah. Kevin, what are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think the quarters have been really good for women's basketball. There's more end of quarter situations. I think that adds to the intrigue, the strategy as a coach. And Chris, yeah, we advanced the ball in women's basketball. I think that's been good for our game too. So those have been two really good changes for us. Now, one thing that's interesting too in women's basketball, just so everybody knows this, because on the court, you're going to have the arc under the basket. And for men's basketball, they're going to use it. In women's basketball, it's out of play. We're not using it anymore. So it's just going to be a little confusing, though, I think, for fans, because they're going to see it. And then people are going to be taking charges in there, and they're going to be going like, hey, why wasn't that a block? But we don't use it anymore. We did away with it.
Wow. That is interesting.
Yeah. I forgot about that, too. But that's really going to be an interesting one for our fans.
Yeah. Why was that, Kevin? Do you think, why did they eliminate that?
I don't know. I think they didn't want to put the burden on the referees to have to see if you make decisions whether they were in or out. They just want to make the block charge call without having to add that part of it. And it was leading to a lot more replays and stuff like that, because coaches were challenging that all the time.
Kevin, the women's game has seen a huge increase in viewership at the professional level. How do you see that benefiting high-profile programs like we have here at Ohio State?
Yeah, no, I mean, this past year was an incredible year in terms of the growth of our game. And you could see the national championship game was incredibly highly watched in the highest ratings we've ever had. I mean, they were on par with, like, NFL games. It was incredible. So that was great. I think just interest – everywhere is up. You know, we played in sold out arenas last year. Just this past week, we put our Iowa game on sale and we sold out in 45 minutes, our home game here. And so we've got a lot of great interest right now. I think it's a great time to be a part of women's basketball, and hopefully we can really continue to facilitate this type of growth.
That's great. Before we let you guys go, I would love for you to be able to share with the listeners what you believe your greatest challenge is for the 2023-24 season, and what has you most excited about your team this year. Chris, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that what has me most excited is being able to see some returning faces that you know, I've talked here in the offseason about some of the scar tissue that we all had from just a year where we grew together. We finished really strong, but we took some battle wounds. And I think having those guys returning and the type of people they are, and I think players they can grow into, and seeing them develop, as well as just really believing in some of these guys that we've added. But the work is in front of us. You know, it's every day. And but that has me most excited. I think the challenges are anything you're playing in, again, the deepest league in the country. And there really are no nights where you cannot perform well in this league. The margin for error is really small. And I think that is, yeah, that is always going to, in this league, that is always going to be the most significant challenge, but one that we really look forward to. And I look forward to going through it with this group.
Kevin, what about you? What do you see as your biggest challenge, and what has you excited about your team this year?
Well, I'm excited because, you know, we have a really deep team and we return a lot of players that have had a lot of success and are hungry for more. And so I think that that's got me most excited. I really like the depth of this team, and it's going to allow us to really play to our style in terms of our pace and our full court pressing. And I think we can do that really effectively. Now, I think it also, as they say, your greatest strength may be your greatest weakness. Because we have a lot of depth, we're going to have to manage a lot of internal expectations. We've got a lot of kids who are hungry to play a lot of minutes. And so we're going to have to be really good as a staff at communicating with our kids exactly where they are, where they need to get better to continue to help, you know, contribute to the team. And then I'd say the other thing that's going to be really just a big deal for us is managing expectations, is because, you know, we have a very difficult schedule, just like Chris, and the league is going to be incredible. And we're going to, you know, we're going to take a couple tough losses in how we respond to that, because, you know, even around town, you can feel the expectations grow for our program, which is great. That's a reflection of some of the success we've had. But as we all know, in this day and age with social media and just the media in general, and your family and your former coaches, when you take a tough loss and your profile is a little higher than it's been in the past, that's going to affect our kids. And so our ability to manage that and make sure we can, you know, stay together and push through those moments are going to be really key for us.
Gene, you are going into your last season of basketball at the Shot. How are you feeling at the beginning of the start of 2023-24?
I feel good, you know, really, because I feel good about our leadership, you know, with Chris and Kevin and their plan. We talked about some of it today, but, you know, I feel good about them leading our teams, and that's what it's all about. You know, we talk about the student athletes, but you have to take into consideration the coaches that they have, and just all the personnel management responsibilities that they have, the academic people, the trainers, the equipment, all those things fall into play as you try and go through a season. So feel good about our leadership. I also feel good about our athletes. You know, both of them have done a great job in recruiting character and talent, really competitive individuals. And so I think, as Kevin shared, I think both of them have challenges around their roster relative to who's going to play when, because they're all very good kids. They're really talented, and they all want to play. So there's only so many minutes in a contest. So, but I feel good that they have that capacity, along with their assistants, to help our student athletes get through it. So I'm just excited about it. And I'm excited about the fact that I think we're going to have fans. I mean, Chris did a great job in getting that Texas A&M game. And Ben, you remember when we had, you know, Friday night, big games like that during the basketball season, we used to have them. You know, that those were huge for both of our basketball programs to bring that attention and awareness early to the season. So that's really cool. And Kevin's done just a great job of scheduling, you know, high opponents over time. And so I'm just excited about it. Can't wait. And, you know, all of you know my wife, Sheila's, this is her game. So, you know, I have to sometimes sit and listen. So I always tell her to just call the coaches. That's a better question for them. So I'm excited about it.
Certainly has a lot of potential to be an energetic year at the Jerome Schottenstein Center. And Gene, before we let everyone go here, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what we have coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know, fortunately, you know, basketball is starting, and we're really excited about that. But we have a number of our fall sports that are moving into postseason. So really hopeful for those teams and that have a chance to chase, you know, Big Ten tournament and or move into the NCAA championships and begin to chase those championships. And then many of our winter sports are starting up. You know, swimming is started, but they're getting rolling. And so really excited about that. And then, of course, our football team's on the road. for the next couple of weeks and go up to Madison, Wisconsin for a night game and trying to take on Luke Fickell and the Badgers. And so there's a lot going on and just really excited about things.
Certainly. I know, especially I'll be thinking about our field hockey program, hoping that they start a trend of a number of big wins up in Ann Arbor. So they're going to start it off with a bang, but that'll do it for another episode of the Gene Smith podcast presented by Incova Insurance. Thank you again to Chris and Kevin for joining us today. Always appreciate your insights. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed this far. Be sure to leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. And until next time, for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.